Did you ever wonder why our society is in such trouble? So many issues, problems, crime, just hefkerus, you know, a lack of any real sense of where we're going, what we're doing, what should be doing, all the influence that all types of different people have in sometimes directions that seem so outlandish and bizarre and nonsensical. And we live in a very strange world. And I think that it boils down to something very simple. We live in a man-made world. When we talk about the law of the land, we talk about the intent of the founding fathers. The founding fathers were the one who the ones who conceived the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and therefore that's the law of the land. And any subsequent additional laws have been made by man, by state legislatures, by the United States Congress, approved maybe by the office of the president, when there was some question about it, by the Supreme Court of 9 human justices. When we deal with man-made laws, by definition, we have a very skeptical attitude. Man-made laws that I have to live by. On what basis? With what right? With what logic? Why? I may be as smart as some of these men who made these laws or who make these laws, and therefore why am I obligated to observe them? And of course, most people don't articulate this. They don't say it, but it's a certain feeling. Like, in fact, the law of the land, I've heard two versions of what the law of the land is. One version from an old judge in Philadelphia who said, the law of the land depends upon whether the judge had a fight with his wife that morning. You know, on what mood he is in when he has to judge. The other version that I heard is, the law of the land is, you can do anything as long as you don't get caught. And those are two possible laws of the land. They're not legal, they're not expressed, but subtly that's the way people think. Why is that so? And I think it's really very, very simple. The answer is because of the fact that these are man-made laws. And we are men, we are people, we have minds of our own, and we tend oftentimes, sometimes openly, and sometimes subconsciously, and sometimes in between, to disagree. I don't think that I should be doing this. I don't think that I have to do it. I don't see what's wrong with doing this. And the only thing that I'm up against is a man-made directive. And I think that that's really something that with one letter in Parshas Mishpotim, the first letter in Parshas Mishpotim, that changes that whole philosophy. The Pasuk starts, Ve'ele ha-mishpotim asher tosim lefnehem. These are the rules. These are the laws that you should put in front of Klal Yisrael. And Rashi points out, he says, Ve'ele ha-mishpotim, kol mokim shenema ele, posal esorishayin. When it says ele, it's disputing the first. Ve'ele moisif al harishayin. When it says the vav and these, it's adding to the original. Mahori shoyne mi Sinai, af elu mi Sinai. Rashi brings him a chilta. Just as the original Aseres Hadibros were given at Har Sinai, so too these are from Sinai. From Sinai? From Hashem? That's a different story. With him we can't mess. With him we can't argue. His authority is supreme. He created the world. He's in control of the world. And he let us know this at Har Sinai in a public forum, in front of millions of people, hearing him speak, seeing the miraculous events that were taking place, hearing him speak to Moshe Rabbeinu and telling him, you are my authorized Navi, my authorized spokesman, that what you will teach Klal Yisrael, they should know that I have taught it to you and authorized you to be their teacher. And now, ve'ela ha-mishpotim asher tosim lifneim. So now we know our rules, our laws, our Taryag mitzvahs, and not just the Taryag mitzvahs in the vague sense, because Rashi says, asher tosim lifneim, Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, lo itala al daitecho loimar eshne lohem haperek v'alocha bezul gimel po'omim, ad she yistur b'fihem kimishnoso. He says, don't think you're going to teach it two or three times until they know it by heart, they can say it, they can recite it. He says, ve'eni matriach atzmi lahavinom tameh hadover pirusho, but I won't go through the effort to teach them the reasons behind it and all the explanations. L'kach omer asher tosim lifneihem. Put it in front of them. What does lifneihem mean? Kishulchon ho'oruch umuchon lecho lifnei ho'odom. Again, the mechilta. Like a table that's set and ready to be eaten. All the food is prepared. Everything is cut. Everything is placed. All the portions are dealt out. It's all ready for our consumption. There's no place for any mistake. There's no room for any confusion, because it's going to be presented to us in an absolutely clear way. And I think that this is really very critical, because we have, our laws are different from their laws. Our laws are not man-made. Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh were all given at Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was authorized publicly in front of the entire nation to be the official spokesman and teacher and Novi to convey the wisdom of the Torah to us. And he was told to convey it to us in the clearest way possible. Asher tosim lifneihem, not just say it over two or three times so that we memorize it and we got it, the basic concepts, but to give it to us, set up on a table, to teach us the insights, the reasons, the understanding, the meaning, in a way that it's accessible, as is food set at a smorgasbord. The food is set up, ready to be taken, ready to be eaten, set up in a way that it's easily accessible to us. So we're very fortunate. We're very, very fortunate that we have a whole different system. Now, knowing that this system was given to us by the Creator affords us another opportunity. And we've mentioned this so many times. Because happiness is about feeling good about oneself. Feeling good about oneself requires a sense of having a purpose. Without a purpose, I can't feel good about myself. Anyone who feels I have no purpose in this world can't feel good about himself. The only true purpose can be conveyed to us by the manufacturer, by the Creator. And He did so. So we know that the observance of His laws are not just not man-made laws, but God-given laws, rules for a better life, rules to give us meaning, rules to give us a refinement of character, rules to give us benefits, but they are our purpose for existence. They were revealed by the manufacturer, by the Creator Himself, so that we know we have, besides the appropriate directives from the Creator Himself, we have the true source of appreciating our purpose in life and being able to be truly happy. I just want to share with you briefly a story that once took place. Once at a seminar that we presented many years ago in the Los Angeles area, there was a young man, I think at the time he was in his mid-20s, was not married yet, did not come from any religious background whatsoever. And he spent a few days at this seminar where he was introduced to these concepts of Torah and Torah Misinai and so forth, and the benefits of a life of Torah and mitzvahs. And I was sitting with him at the lunch the last day, and I asked him, I said, do you have a pair of tefillin? And he said to me the answer which bothered me more than anything else. He says, I don't know. Now, if he said he has, he hasn't used it, fine. If he said he doesn't have, okay. I don't know. It means it was totally irrelevant to me. I don't even know if I own a pair of tefillin. To me, I was very disturbed by that statement. Then at the end of the seminar, there's a symposium, and everybody gets up to say how this seminar impacted on their lives. This young man gets up and he says like this. He says, I am now convinced that God gave the Torah to the Jewish people at Sinai over 3,300 years ago. Then he says, you know, I thought that I would start my commitment to Judaism by doing the small thing, by doing the big things. You know, I'll figure out what are the big, most important things, and then I'll do that. We'll see. He says, but then I thought to myself, I said, you know, in man's law, I'm careful not to do a felony, which is a major crime, and not even to do a misdemeanor, which is a minor infraction. How does it look? How right would it be? How would I feel if I'm more careful in observing man's law than in God's law? So therefore I decided that not only will I keep the big things in Judaism, but maybe I have to keep the little things too, whatever they are. He wasn't sure what they were himself. But then I thought to myself, but in man's law, I do reserve the right to cheat. You know, a little bit, what, nobody's going to catch me, you know, with that philosophy, no one's going to catch me anyway, it's only man's law. I say, you know, we do what you hear, I go a little bit too fast on when I'm driving, I do this, I do that, you know, little kinds of things, he says. So maybe that right, I have to cheat a little bit on God's law too. But then I thought to myself, when do I cheat in man's law? I cheat in man's law when nobody's watching. But here I am driving at 80 miles an hour on the freeway, and all of a sudden I notice out of my mirror, you know, who's watching me over there? All of a sudden I'm driving at 40 miles an hour like a little old lady on a Sunday afternoon in the park. So I said to myself, if in man's law I can't cheat when the police are watching, then in God's law I can never cheat, because he's always watching. And this young man at that point made a decision in his life that he wanted to become religious, and I met him years later, and he got married, a beautiful, wonderful family, religious, he's a businessman, and he learns regularly, and a beautiful story. Anyway, but that's the idea. You see, in man's law, we want to cheat. What's the point, you know? But not if we're going to get caught. Well, you know what helps us in God's law? You know what Ve'ele ha-mishpotim asher tosim lefneim teaches me? That all of the directives of the Torah, all of the halochas that the Torah tells us and that Chazal explained to us in the Torah Shebaal Peh, which was also given at Har Sinai, that this is the way we ought to conduct our lives. Not only do we know that it comes from the Creator and therefore it has authority, not only do we know that that is the purpose of our existence and therefore it can make us happy, not only do we know that these laws were given for our benefit to enhance the quality of our lives, but we know that the one who gave the Torah at Har Sinai is here today, as he always was, as he always will be, and watching everything we do. And that gives us sometimes the strength to know, push comes to shove, I got a desire, I want to do, I want to cheat, I want to compromise, I want to, but there's a God in the world and he's watching. And doesn't make sense. And that, I think, is the unique benefit that we have over the rest of the world. We know by eyewitness testimony that the directives by which we live are the directives that were given to us from the Creator himself and faithfully and meticulously passed down from generation to generation to this very day. And that gives us a sense of strength, gives us a sense of meaning, and that gives us a sense of responsibility. And if we ever feel that we should cheat a little bit, we should remember how it is to drive at 80 miles on the freeway and to notice out of the corner of your eye that somebody over there was watching, ready to pounce on us. Well, Baruch Hashem, Hashem is always there. And Hashem is just looking for us to do what's right, so he should give us reward. And we certainly should be motivated because of that to do everything that he has directed us.